Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rasaki Maskani. And on the panel this evening, we have Professor Amin Ra, Ernest McBride Jr., Brother Ahi, Brother Chawara, Sister Sophia, and Brother Mashinda. Our guest this evening is Dr. Inky Real. He's a naturopathic doctor, amongst other things, and he can tell us more about what else he does other than naturopathic medicine. And tonight our topic is melanin genesis. So I'm very eager to hear what Dr. Inky's going to say about this topic here. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Dr. Inky. How's everything with you this evening?
Good. Nice to be back finally. You know, I know we missed last show. I had some crazy stuff going on, and you know, I know y'all are booked up, so it seemed like almost, you know, a decade since I've been on. So
yeah, that's a little stretch, but welcome back, and I'm ready for you, and I'm pretty sure the panel is too. So let's get started here.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, we can start with the class that we have going on. Right now, we're in the middle of a 15-week. We're in the middle of a 15-week. Right now, people are supposed to be working on midterms. We're in the middle of a 15-week course, and the course is based on two things, two major topics, and then all of the science surrounding them. Right. One side is that melanin is a byproduct of your body's anabolic system. And then the other side of it is the fact that your body uses electrogenesis to facilitate life, which is important. Because it means that the entire construct surrounding the combustion theory of life has to be torn down, which is at the foundation of health and wellness today. And a lot of us use terms like, you know, burning sugar or burning fat. And those things are just like figments of like the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus. Those are not like your body doesn't burn sugar and it doesn't burn fat. And while from a surface level, people might think that those are simple things and they may not have, you know, a serious impact on people's health, they would be wrong, because 90% of our problems that we're dealing with are centered around those two main concepts, and there's a $1 trillion industry that benefits off of them. And that's the reason why today's fitness movement is led by people who only look fit based on the fact that they're using drugs and surgeries to create bodies. But they're selling products and ideas as if they have concepts that allow them to build muscle and quote unquote burn fat. And the two things couldn't be furthest from the truth. So we have a large population of uninformed people being led by misinformed people. Which is the reason why everybody, no matter what kind of money and time they're spending, are pretty much missing the target. And, you know, the result is America has an advanced education system. America is comfortable in terms of global economics, but we have the most unhealthiest country statistically amongst any of the, you know, well-to-do countries on earth, right? You know, third world countries. In fact, there are third world countries that have better health than America. So We are really in a crisis right now. In the crisis, we have documented very meticulously and carefully, because I've been doing this research for the better part of, 25 years. And, it's culminated even in us creating a textbook that we're getting ready to start a class soon around, called Black's Anatomy. Black's Anatomy is the, I'm not going to say the opposite. I would just say it's the next level to Gray's Anatomy. Gray's Anatomy has served as the basic textbook for medical schools in our country for the last 100 or so years, maybe 150 years. And we've been very meticulous in terms of creating a timeline that shows the reason why we are in this situation that we're in. A couple of quick examples, and then I'll turn it over to the panel. A couple quick examples would be like medical school in America started in 1765. 1765, we open up medical schools in America. It's not for another 50 years that the structure of a water molecule is discovered, right? So what that means is that medical schools were created before we knew that a water molecule was H2O. Like before we understood what water was, we had medical school, right? So that's a problem because the body is 99% of the body's molecules by sheer number is water molecules. So if we don't understand what water is, it's not even possible to approach understanding how the body works, right? But it doesn't stop there, right? We don't even figure out like what the first vitamin is until 150 years later. We don't get the first vitamin until 1910. We don't get the first vitamin until 1910. So this means, again, medical school was created 150 years before we knew what nutrition was. We don't have an idea of what nutrition is. And the discovery of water-soluble vitamins, right? Think the body is basically water. Water-soluble vitamins leads us down a road of discovery to understanding how the body actually metabolizes food. So we don't even know how the body metabolizes food until another 50 years after we discover the first vitamin, because the vitamin discoveries allow us to unpack digestion and metabolism and cellular respiration, right? So first we discover vitamin B1. Right, vitamin B1 thiamine helps us to break down carbohydrates. Vitamin B2 and B3 are what your body turn into NAD and FAD. NAD and FAD are the hydrogen carriers that basically, allow when we break down, carbohydrates and fat to produce electricity in mitochondria so that we can then recycle water and ATP, right? So I just I turn it over to the panel, but I'm just saying like we had medical school before we even understood what the body was or how the body worked, which beyond insane, beyond insane. And as discoveries were made over time, right? As discussed, because somebody would say, yeah, but we discovered more and we changed the system, and no. That never happened. As we made quote unquote medical discoveries, anatomical discoveries, physical discoveries, energy discoveries, they were never incorporated, or the foundation of medical school was never changed. What happens is you have add-ons. You have an add-on. Okay, so here we have doctors, then we have a nutritionist. Then we have a dietitian, which just from common sense, you go, well, why do I need a dietitian and a nutritionist? Doesn't the person who creates the diet, like, doesn't the dietitian understand nutrition? Like, why would I need a dietitian and a nutritionist? And doesn't my doctor understand nutrition? And like, why would I need to go to, and then I need an exercise person separately, and then I need a therapist separate from my trainer, and I need, because as discoveries are made, in order to not interrupt the money being generated already, in order to not interrupt the confidence required to keep the money flowing in the existing system, new discoveries are turned into systems of their own. And so that may work to an extent up until, say, somewhere around 1950, 1960, where we have a complete understanding of the electron transport chain. And the electron transport chain should have been a game changer in terms of, you know what? We have to tear this building down because the foundation is faulty. The body doesn't run based on Newtonian physics. The body runs on this new science, quantum mechanics, because when we break down carbohydrates, when we break down fatty acids, we're creating a stream of electrons. We're creating a stream of protons. And we're using these things to create light-based reactions. So we have electrons, protons, and photons, which don't necessarily fit into this 1600s, 1700s model. And this is the reason why most of today's illnesses center around our body's ability to process energy. Diabetes is about energy. Cancer, in terms of the work of, the most modern research we have, starting with Otto Warburg and then Thomas Seyfried. Cellular respiration is the main problem in cancer. So, heart disease and brain disease, number one, number two, the thing they have in common is those are the most dense concentrations of mitochondria. So it's this problem with understanding or resolving the fact that electrons, protons, and photons are the driving forces in our body, as opposed to these archaic ideas that were formulated in the 1600s and 1700s. That's the main problem. So we're just getting busy replacing outdated ideas with working ones.
Dr. Inky.
Yes, sir.
So, simply, what is melanin?
So melanin is the end product. Melanin is the end product of your body's anabolic system. And your body's anabolic system is your body's information processing system. It's the body's information processing system. That's your body's anabolic system, right? And it is a lot more, there are a lot more parts to the machine than just the end product, which is melanin. And the reason why I had to preface melanin genesis or the melanin molecule or pigment with the whole entire conversation about, the history of medicine and the electron transport chain is because as a pigment, pigments' jobs in nature is to serve as an interface between energy and matter. Subatomic particles, electrons, protons, photons primarily, and the world that we know of as matter, things that are composed of atoms. Pigments are the interface. So depending on the type of pigment determines how it interfaces with subatomic particles and converts them into various forms of information. But that's what pigments do in your body, right? So for maybe 100 years or so, melanin was only listed in medical textbooks as a waste product. It was listed as a waste product, whether it's the melanin in your skin or even neuromelanin. Neuromelanin was listed as a waste product of dopaminergic neurons, right? Those are the neurons in your brain that process dopamine, right? Then later, when it was discovered that norepinephrine also becomes neuromelanin, then they extended the insult, the injury, to include neurons that produce and process norepinephrine, but it was only listed as a waste product. And the reason most of us jump to that conclusion is we go, well, the white man and the white man system, the white man doesn't wanna, and there's some of that. I'm not ruling out some of that being a contributing factor, but the larger part, which for most of us was inconceivable, because regardless to what we say about the system, a lot of us trust, we put our trust in these white jackets, not even more than we do our own, but more than we even do God or our, our religious, we put these white jackets in a state of infallibility. So it never dawns on us that they really don't have a foundation to understand this. And so that's why I kind of gave you a little peek at the timeline, because if medical school is established 200 years before they understand subatomic particles and that subatomic particles are driving biology, then as far as they're concerned, pigment really doesn't have a job except to provide color or except to just kind of take up space. It's not until the late 19 or the early 1960s, going into the 1970s, that they even understand that subatomic particles are driving biology. So it's only the last 40 to 50 years that they've been discovering all of the various jobs that pigments actually play inside the body. And one of those jobs is to build the body. And when we use the term anabolic, it's particularly the fitness folks, the bodybuilding folks. So, euphemistically, when we hear anabolic, we really just associate that to muscle, right? Building muscle. But that's not the case. As a healer, right? Whether you're a naturopathic, holistic, homeopathic, or even a medical, a doctor. I think everybody probably except a surgeon, right? As a healer, your job is to understand how to stimulate the body to, amongst other things, rebuild specific chains of amino acids, right? If you're trying to help somebody that maybe has a endocrine problem or gland problem or hormone problem, hormones are chains of amino acids. If you're trying to help somebody that has maybe some damage inside the body, right? You have to help that person with cellular turnover. Cells are partially, the cell receptors specifically are built out of amino chains. The enzymes are built out of amino chains. So all of these things center around cellular turnover and understanding how to utilize cellular turnover for healing. That starts with understanding how to input information into the system. And before you can heal, before you can rebuild, you have to tap into the energy system, one shape, form, or fashion. So one of the most particularly dangerous parts of the standard American diet is that we ignore photosynthesis. And ignoring photosynthesis comes out of this ignorance where, again, we had medical school 200 years before we understood subatomic particles. because photosynthesis is, yeah, it's how plants make fruits and vegetables out of sunlight, but that is a subatomic particle driven process. It is the plant's pigment, right? Starting with pigment once again, it's the plant's pigment able to harness photons to attach water molecules to carbon atoms. So it is an exchange of photons and electrons that drives the energy process of attaching water molecules to carbon, right? Because a water molecule and a carbon atom is the basic unit of carbohydrates. So understanding that process and understanding that photosynthesis is the root of the food chain. When we look at our standard American diet and even the two fitness diets, which are, if you're not doing the standard American diet, chances are you've been led by the fitness community to be on keto or some version of paleo, carnivore, high protein thing. And all of these ignore photosynthesis. Because photosynthesis is a diet that is based, it's a system based on pigment, fiber, and water. Pigment, fiber, and water. And those are the three things that are left out of all of those diet programs, which is the reason why we have to find synthetic means to replace the things that we're supposed to be having naturally, like you have a wide push for steroid legalization or TRT to become standard so that all men over 30 or 35 years old should be on steroids. Same thing for women. You have the massive push for GLP, GLP agonist drugs right now, which is the whole entire business of GLP agonists is a replacement for photosynthesis because your body naturally produces GLP agonists when you eat fiber. You eat the fiber, your body breaks that down into short chain fatty acids, and then your microbiome does the rest of the magic from there, right? And you get more GLP, stimulation than you can handle. But again, that doesn't happen in a fiberless system because we don't eat enough fiber because we're not eating enough plants. Now we need needles. Now we need drugs. Now we need, we need something else to take the place because the dynamic of how the body works is not going to change. So we can have the natural inputs or we can get synthetic ones to patch it up. But when you use synthetic things to patch the system, there is no modicum of health that can come of that because health means that your body functions on its own as it was supposed to. So the moment that you need some sort of synthetic crutch, that's not healthy. You're not healthy on, injections and various things that you got to take because you have system failure, and that's what it is. If we don't have natural GLP-1 agonist production from our digestive system based on our food, that's a system failure. It's not a failure of the system to act. It's a voluntary system failure, us failing to put in the natural stimulants the way the body is designed, in a symbiotic relationship with plants to get the job done. And it's not to say that we need to go vegan. It's not to say that we need to go vegan. Because that's not, necessarily what I promote. I just promote pigment and fiber and water. Because I realized over the years there are people that go vegan and they still aren't having they still aren't increasing their health span, right? Just like there are people that continue to eat meat, but they are. So the thing is, whether you're eating meat or not, if you do not have enough pigment, fiber, and water in your diet, your body's gonna break down. So
Okay.
melanin, just to go back, circle all the way back, Melanin is the production of the primary pigment in nature to drive the rebuilding system, to drive your body's information systems to be able to harness the activity of subatomic particles and translate that activity into, cytokines, peptides, hormones, and all of the other drivers that your body, functions on.
Okay, Ernest, you want to unmute? You have any questions, Dr. Enke?
No, not really, because I just try to use a basic diet, just what from my mother, and I don't know whether she got it from a grandmother, and we try to eat a lean meat and a vegetable, and maybe a stable like a potatoes or something like, or maybe rice. So, and that's all I eat every day. I don't try to do no diet or eat or no special vitamins or nothing. Just you do the basic foods and stuff. So I'm kind of just really listening, taking all this in. So,
Okay.
but
All
I
right.
see what it means about the fiber and the water and the pigment. I'm kind of confused on that. So.
Okay. That's a good start right there. So when you say the pigment, fiber, and water, have you kind of confused? Help me to help you. In what
But
way?
just the pigment. What are you saying about pigment?
We should have a diet driven by making sure that we get in a healthy amount of at least 3 to 4 different colorful foods a day.
Okay.
Purples, reds, greens, yellows, oranges, even whites, even whites, because in nature, cauliflowers and things that they actually have their pigments still. They still have pigments. And so in natural food, you have photosynthetic food, plants. You have your pigment on the outside, and then you have your fiber on the inside. And in between the pigment and the fiber is where all the nutrients are, right? Your antioxidants, your minerals, your vitamins, all those things are in those layers. Even to the point where some pigments are classified as antioxidants or, like flavins and polyphenols and all of these things. These are all pigments. So if we focus on getting these things, even like keeping it simple, right? Just focus on the pigments. We don't necessarily have to get sciency where we get lost in long names and if we just, because what's happening is, names like quercetin and ubiquinone and all of these different things, it makes it more complicated than it needs to be. So if we're getting in a bunch of different colorful natural food every day, we're getting in all of those things that they're going to tell us on, maybe the Oprah Winfrey show or something like that is a superfood and blah, 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 blah. That's not really a real thing. There's no such thing as a superfood. Superfood is a commercial, it's a commercial concept. They do a marketing campaign, gross domestic product exchange, and now, a fruit or a vegetable that doesn't grow in our country that grows in somebody else's, we're gonna put the whole country's attention on buying it, and they'll probably be doing the same thing in their country over there. So they may be telling their population that apples are a superfood and it's amazing because it'll rebuild up your liver and, bile and this and that, which are true. But because we got apples everywhere, we take apples for granted. So a country that may not be in a climate to grow apples, they're going to be promoted as superfood over there. And then, they may be telling us acai berries are, acai berries. You got to get these acai berries or goji berries. It's so amazing because, like, it's not, it's just another fruit, but If we focus on, like I said, the fiber and the pigment and just keeping our hydration levels steady, chances are our bodies will be a lot more resilient. Our bone marrow even, will respond to these things. And the bone marrow is really the fountain of youth in terms of, your blood and all of your immune products are, generated in the bone marrow. And, that's a place of a lot of wear and tear that we don't really think about in terms of, a lot of the commercial things that we're doing, or not getting enough exercise because your bone marrow responds to, piezoelectric stimulation. And when we don't get the piezoelectric stimulation on the bones, slowly but surely the bones rot. And active bone marrow turns into fat or adipose tissue. And so you have places where at one time, red blood cells, white blood cells, B cells, immunoglobulins, and things like that could be produced. Now that area has rotted and just turned into fat. And so, you don't get any production from there. So over time, your circulatory system slowly does rot. It just the rot is not seen in the circulatory system, it's seen in the bone marrow. So it is very important to get, these pigments and fiber, heavy pigment-based foods and fiber-rich foods into the diet.
Quickly, give some examples of those foods so people know.
Everything in the produce section. Everything in the produce section. So
So fruits and vegetables,
fruits
I
and
would say.
vegetables. Fruits
Okay.
and vegetables, but not necessarily in the amounts that we have been led to believe are healthy. So, we live in a meat-centric society because cowboys were, cowboys still have the wealth in America. So the plate design is around the meat. So you put a big chunk of meat on the plate, you put a big chunk of, starch on the plate, and then maybe we add a sprinkle of, some overcooked greens or something like that, where the nutrition has been cooked out of the vegetable into the water, and we throw the water away. We'll boil the collard greens down, unaware that all of the nutrition is now out of the plant into the water, and then we throw the water into the, we throw the water away with all of the vitamins and nutrients in it, and then we eat the soft, overcooked collard greens. So, we got to get back to putting some emphasis on making sure that the plants and the vegetables are the main things that we're eating. And then, the meats and the starches, we can use those things to accompany the fruits and the vegetables, but the priority has to shift. The plates have to flip inside out. And even vegans have a problem with that because 90% of vegans are just looking to imitate or emulate the plates that they've been raised on. So they go and get the synthetic chicken or the synthetic steak, the veggie meat, and they build their plate around synthetic meat with a large portion of starch and again, a sprinkle of vegetable. And that sprinkle of vegetable might as well be non-existent because it's not enough.
All right, thanks. Brother Ahi?
Brother, are you saying that the electricity is the catalyst of life and the pigment and water are the fuel?
Man, somebody on time. That's absolutely what I'm saying. But
Can he repeat that, please?
go ahead, brother. I'll let you repeat that, and then I'll come back in again. Cause that was good. That was a bar. That was a good, powerful statement. Go ahead and repeat that for the family.
You're saying Electricity is the catalyst of life, and pigment and water are the fuel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is the reason why, if we look at two things, right? If we look at photosynthesis, right? And then we look at cellular respiration, or branched out to include beta oxidation and the Krebs cycle, right? That tells us the whole entire story of life right there. So for people that don't understand, you have three macronutrients, right? Your three macronutrients are carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Now, proteins, your body breaks those things down into amino acids so that your body can use amino acids to build up the structures of your body. So protein is mostly structural. Protein is only used for energy in situations where you don't have any available sugars, and then if you don't have any available fatty acids, then your body will go to breaking down proteins and turn protein into energy. But in a good space, protein is strictly structural. Fatty acids have to, well, I'll put the pause right there. So we have fatty acids and carbohydrates for energy production. Now, photosynthesis, the plant kingdom, gives us both of those things, right? Plant pigment is able to take the energy of the sun, and the energy of the sun is hydrogen. Hydrogen is the driver of the energy in the sun. That's very important for us to understand. Hydrogen is the driver of stars. Hydrogen is the driver of stellar activity, stellar power. The light, the magnetism, the electricity, the sheer force from stars, the power of stars comes from hydrogen, the fusion of hydrogen, and then it grows from there to include heavier and heavier atoms. But hydrogen is the source. So when we talk about a plant using the power of the sun, right, to create carbohydrates, we have to realize that that power is hydrogen, right? Which coincidentally is how we measure specific activity in the fluids of the body, pH, right? pH, power of hydrogen, right? And you know, nature is designed in a way where you can, you know, I understand the atheists, you know, ideas, but nature is designed in a way that if you study nature, you'll know that there is a supreme intelligence behind everything that we have going on. pH is a primary example, right? The optimum pH for your blood is 7.365. 7.365. 7.365. You can look at that and go, wait a minute. Those two numbers we're familiar with, right? There are 7 days in a week, and there are 365 days in a year. Well, why are there 7 days in a week and 365 days in a year? Well, the reason why our days are set is because of our rotation around the sun. And so the sun sets our distance from it based on our planet's mass and our rotation around it, which takes 365 days. So the sun, the hydrogen source, our local star, is setting us as a planet in a band and at a rhythm of 365 days. So there's no coincidence now that that same number is encapsulated in our pH. It's almost like a signature, a sign of nature inside your blood, right? But we can go beyond that, right, to photosynthesis. So photosynthesis, again, is the process of taking water molecules and attaching them to carbon. A water molecule is made up of hydrogen and oxygen, two hydrogens and one oxygen. So it takes two hydrogens and one oxygen, attaches that to a carbon, and that's your basic unit of carbohydrates. Now, that works beautifully for energy production. That works beautiful for energy production. The problem is, in order for life to be, in order for life to go into the future, plants actually need, just like complex, more complex life, we actually need a long-term source of energy, right? Because carbohydrates go bad. So we need a long-term source of energy so that, when plants create seeds, inside the seed, there can be energy ready to use if that seed is fertilized in a day, in a week, in a month, or 5 or 10 years from the time it's released from the fruit. And so nature has created fats for that long-term energy process. And a fat is basically a very similar unit. It's a carbon, two hydrogen atoms, but it doesn't necessarily have the oxygen. So a fat chain is usually, the body of a fat chain is a carbon with two hydrogens on the outside of it. The oxygen is missing. Now, when you understand that process, that gives you the key to human metabolism. The key to human metabolism is the breath, right? That's the breath. It's breathing that allows us to maintain a healthy fat, to metabolize excess fat. Controlling our breath rate allows us to control our weight. We metabolize fat with oxygen. That is a whole beta oxidation. That's why it's called beta oxidation. We're oxidizing the stored fat. And once we oxidize the stored fat, we can put it in the Krebs cycle. Now, the Krebs cycle in cells is basically where we break that water away from the carbon. We break the water away from the carbon so that we can use the hydrogen for energy. The hydrogen atom gets broken down again into an electron and a proton. That electron and that proton, right? That's what allows us to recycle water and ATP. So in that process, I might have went kind of quickly, but in that process, you didn't hear anything about fire. You didn't hear anything about combustion. So there is never a time when you've burned sugar or burned fat. You're breaking it down into electrons. That's why it is an electron transport chain. So you're converting fats and carbohydrates into electricity. Into electricity. And that electricity is carried through the electron transport chain, which is a pigment system. It is a chain of pigments. The blood, our blood that carries our oxygen. Okay, go ahead. Yes, sir. You got a question? Oh,
No, I don't know. Somebody, I think somebody just had some interference.
okay. So the blood that carries our oxygen is also a pigment-based system. Hemoglobin is pigment. The electron transport chain is pigment. Our skin, pigment, and our eyes, it's pigment. Every stage of pigment is about information processing, but the information that we process is in electrons, protons, and photons. So we have to understand that those are the drivers in terms of anabolism, health, and longevity. And if we want to backtrack it, we can take it to neurochemistry, and the neurochemistry starts with two primary inputs, one being melanin concentrating hormone, the other one being pro-opiomelanocortin. Pro-opiomelanocortin breaks down into ACTH, which is the creator of our adrenalines. It breaks down into melanin stimulating hormone, which is the main positive side of melanocortin stimulation, and then it breaks down into endorphins and lipotropins, which are the things that metabolize fat, lipotropins. The ACTH and the adrenaline production is what stimulates testosterone. On the other side, melanin concentrating hormone is what stimulates ghrelin and growth hormone. So even the popular, drivers of anabolic, biochemistry, testosterone and growth hormone are part and parcel of the greater melanin system. The greater melanin system, because when we reduce melanin to pigment, as the medical institution has for a long time, we miss all of the neurochemistry associated with the formation of these pigments. We miss catecholamines, which are part of the melanin system. Catecholamines are like your dopamine and your norepinephrine and things like that. We miss the melanocortin receptors that are on cells that determine what type of nutrients cells let in the first place. So there's a host of biochemistry that we miss when we reduce the pigment system just to melanin, or the melanin system even to just melanin. So the melanin system is huge. It starts with neurotransmitters and hormones, and it ends with pigment. And it is the primary driver of inflammation in the body. And it includes in the periphery the secondary and tertiary pigments like opsins and globins, right? And globins is your heme units, hemoglobin, myoglobin, which is your respiration system. So, we have to begin to take this serious. And this, like I said, this is why we have the class that we've been doing. We're doing a 15-week class. It's called Melanin is Anabolic, the Big Fat Burning Lie, right? So we're trying to teach primarily, A, how the melanin system builds your body, right? And then on the other side, we're teaching electrogenesis and aquagenesis, the creation of electricity in your body from your food, and also the creation of fresh, pure water in your body. Your body is the purest source of water on earth. There's no water on earth purer than the water that's created inside your body every day. You create hundreds of gallons of water in your body every day. And so, go ahead.
All right, I want to go to Sister Linda.
Oh yes, I'm here. And I'm glad that you went that direction about water, because my question is, since I've heard that spring water, and then some people tell me I need to drink distilled water, which type of water do you recommend, since you're saying, I know our body's made up of 80% water. What type of water should you recommend? Do you recommend that I drink?
Okay, so first I would like to separate all of those things, right?
Okay.
So the body's water is primarily composed of the body's water. So your body creates water. That's the thing we need to understand. Your body creates water from carbohydrates and fats. So inside your mitochondria, you have five complexes. Complex one, complex two, complex three, complex four, and that's primarily your electron transport chain. Complex number five is ATPase. That's like a big turbine pump kind of thing where, that's the final step where ATP is recycled. And so, because of a little bit of ignorance mixed with some commercial interests, Cytochrome 5, where ATP is recycled, has gotten all of the attention. For me, cytochrome 4 is much more important. Cytochrome 4 is where oxygen sits and it waits. You have an O2 molecule, it hangs out at complex 4 or cytochrome 4, and it waits and it captures electrons and protons, and it puts them back together again to make complete hydrogen atoms. And so every oxygen collects two electrons and two protons and rebuilds a water molecule. So every electron transport chain in your body is collectively producing the purest water on Earth. Now, the reason why we have issues with that is because we have obesity problems and we have diabetes problems. Obesity is a problem metabolizing fat. Diabetes is a problem metabolizing carbohydrates. Now, put two and two together. If our body takes carbohydrates and fats and metabolizes them and produces water, if we're having trouble metabolizing fats and carbohydrates, then that means we're also having a problem producing that water, right? So that's one thing. So that's where activity, sedentary lifestyle, getting active, doing exercises, creating piezoelectric stimulation in the body is very important, right? Now with the spring water is, I would say, per dollar, I would say spring water is probably the best water overall for you to drink, right? I'm a fan of spring water, artesian water, and even rainwater, properly sourced, right? Distilled water is something that you should only drink if you're doing some sort of, cleanse. If you want to, work on a heavy metal cleanse or something to that effect, you should do distilled. But distilled water is not natural. Distilled water is not natural. And distilled water is going to do what water does. Water is going to look to complete itself. So water likes to attach itself to, magnesium and calcium and a host of other, bicarbonates and things like that. So when you get spring water, when you get, well-sourced, high quality rainwater or artesian water comes from like, glaciers. And you get high quality natural water, that water is already going to have some degree of bicarbonates and magnesium and calcium and some of these things already in there that your body can then use along with the hydration. And again, the fact that these biochemists understand how our body works better than we do, they're selling us these things back separately. So they'll sell you the water in one shape, form, or fashion, and then they'll sell you a bunch of powder packs that you add to the water to add electrolytes or, water soluble vitamins or all these things that should naturally be already with the water, right? Water is not something that you want to do on a regular basis. Should be doing like a natural, spring water or artesian water, or but artesian water and high grade rainwater get pricey, they get expensive. And as a single dad with five little ones, for me, everything has to be on a budget, because your health is not going to be changed by something you splurge out and do every once in a while. Your health is going to be based on what you do all of the time. And every day, what most of us do is just drink tap water. That's one of the greatest, I would say that's one of the most, that's one of the largest well-kept insanities of American society. And I had to write a book about it. I have a book out there called The 40-Day Fruit Fast, where I really kind of let my frustration out about it. Because it was something that was building up like a pet peeve of mine. You know, before I went through my first divorce, and I was on the road going city to city, doing lectures and you know, helping people and going to hospitals and arguing with doctors and just traveling all the time with the message. And I would always make it my business, or at least try to anyway, to at least eat dinner in that city with the people that bring me to that city, right? Because I'm big on the culture part of all of this information sharing. It doesn't become culture until we sit together, break bread, laugh, cry, you know. So, and it would never fail. Because I'm sitting down with folks, they try to eat their healthiest, right? And so people would say the craziest things, and I'm gonna share in a second, but I'm building you up in a certain way because I want you to see it a certain way. We sit down to eat, and immediately somebody asks the waitress or the waiter, they go, "Hey, do you guys have bottled water? Because, you know, I don't drink tap water." And they look over at me to make sure I heard them. Like, yeah, I don't drink tap water. And so they say, "Well, yeah, we got bottled water." Or they might say, "No, we don't have bottled water." And they go, "Okay, well, let me get a tea, or let me get a coffee, or let me get, you know, a diet soda, or let me get this or that." And in my mind, I'm saying to myself, these people must be crazy. Don't they know that all of those drinks are tap water? Every last one of those drinks is tap water. When you go to the supermarket and you buy orange juice, the orange juice is made with tap water. So if they're giving you know, Tropicana orange juice from a container, that's made with tap water. That's if you get a soda, whether it's diet or not, all sodas are made with tap water. If you go and you buy yourself a coffee, that coffee is made with tap water. If you go make yourself, you know, you go buy a tea, a cup of tea is made with tap water. Like every single drink that is commercially made is made with tap water. These companies aren't making millions of dollars because they're making our Pepsi with, you know, like bottled water. Starbucks isn't making coffees with Fiji. Like they're making coffee with tap water. So we have to understand that, you know, we're consuming a certain amount of tap water regardless. So if we're going to really improve our water drinking, we have to be mindful about what it is and have a real strategic approach so that, you know, what we're doing is consistent and is long term. You know, I'm not saying not to drink, you know, these items, but I'm just saying to know what these items really are. You know, most of these commercial drinks and juices is just tap water with some other stuff added into it. So you have to keep your body generating its own water to keep the most of the water in your body pure, right? It's more important to focus on the water our body's producing as opposed to what we're drinking. And then what we're drinking, we want to make sure that we're getting something of decent quality that we can afford to maintain long term, so that we're not just buying, you know, expensive bottles of water every so often, but, you know, 25 days out of the month we're drinking whatever, and then, you know, every so often we have a Fiji, or we have, you know, whatever, one of these Essentia, you know, we buy Essentia and Fiji every so often. Like it's got to be consistent. So
All
that's what.
right. Thank you. Brother Chiwara?
Yes. Greetings, greetings, greetings.
Peace.
How is everyone this evening? Good?
Good.
Yes. The water that the body makes,
Yes.
is there a way to monitor? I mean, first of all, how much water does the body make in a 24-hour period? And is there a way that we can know whether our body is producing its prescribed amount of water, or if it's underproducing or
Absolutely.
overproducing? How do we do that?
Absolutely. So, and The specifics, so that's body specific. So there's not an exact number, right? Everybody that's on the program right now, our bodies are producing different amounts of water. We all have different diets, different body sizes, body weights, different levels of physical activity, etc. But the simple way that you can tell, like I said, if your body is producing enough water is on the surface level, how well is your body metabolizing fat? How well is your body metabolizing carbohydrates? Because it's the metabolism of fats and carbohydrates that your body uses to produce water. It's the metabolism of fats and carbohydrates that your body uses to produce electricity. It's the metabolism of carbohydrates and fats that your body uses to actually produce non-essential amino acids. So that energy wheel is responsible for everything else. So just being able to monitor how well the energy wheel is working, how well you are metabolizing carbohydrates, and that can be told by an A1C number, glycation, advanced glycation end products, A1C, things like that. Is your body able to, break down fats easily? Do you need help with that? Is your body putting on weight you can't get off? Your body's concentration of visceral fat is highly problematic, but they can check that out. Even local gyms have the ability to tell you what kind of visceral fat you're storing. So those are the things that would tell you if your body's producing enough water. Right, how well your body's metabolizing carbohydrates and how well your body is metabolizing fats. Outside that, we teach in the class and through the books the exact specific numbers. So you can, if you want to create your own, tailor-made, like we have those laid out where you can see exactly X amount of water molecules for X amount of carbohydrates, X amount of fats will turn around and give you X amount of ATP, per minute, per hour, per day. We're big on those specifics and those numbers because we're trying to also replace the concept of calorie, which doesn't apply to the human body. It's a good proxy, but a calorie is not based on human metabolism. A calorie is based on putting a food item inside of a bomb meter and lighting it on fire or exploding it. Our body doesn't light food on fire or explode it. There's no combustion that happens in the human body. Again, we break food down into electricity. So we have to get, tailor-made adjustments for, that understanding. And we've been building that and teaching that in the course. So, on the flip side, you can also use chronic inflammation. Anywhere that you have chronic inflammation, chances are your body is not producing that water at a high level because chronic inflammation means that you have a high rate of apoptosis or the creation of senescent cells. And apoptosis and senescent cell creation is based on usually your mitochondria not functioning the way they're supposed to. And the mitochondria is the place where the electricity is generated as well as the water. So on one side, you can look at your body's ability to break down carbs and fats. On the other side, you can look at inflammation. If you have either one or both of those, that means you're not producing enough water.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, sir. That was a good question. That was good.
Brother Mashinda.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I appreciate Dr. Inky coming back on tonight. I'm definitely going to go back.
Listen,
Glad this is
I
being
can't come on
recorded.
enough. Listen, brother, I can't get on enough. I'd love to be
Right.
more frequent, so I definitely appreciate
Yeah.
the sentiment.
This is a serious lecture. Like I say, I'm gonna go back and like I say, rewrite my notes. and understand what you're saying. I got the gist of everything you're saying, and a lot of it makes sense to me, just based on my own research or my own studies just over the years of, taking in information and things like that. But you put it in very scientific terms, which is, and I like to, like I say, I'm gonna have to go in and break it down a little more. But I just appreciate you coming on, and keep coming. That's all.
Hey, I appreciate it. And we have a book that goes along with the class. It's called Melanin is Anabolic. Do I have it right here next to me? Yeah, I don't know if y'all can see this, but this is the book. And inside the book, it really simplifies. So the book, it's a it's written in a way where you're an observer observing a college course in session, right? So you're observing the teacher and the students' interaction, the daily conversations, and then after that, it gets a lot more specific, and you have the science outlined along with homework and stuff like that. So it gives you the simpler concepts, the layman's terms, and then it gives you the more sciencey view so that you get the total package. So, it's a really, really well-written kind of, people are really enjoying it. So, you can get the book and kind of go through the whole 45 classes. It's 15 weeks, 45 classes. We're doing videos on YouTube for each one. But also, if you have the book, you can kind of go at your own speed and do your own thing with it. Sure.
Okay, thank you. Professor Ryan?
Yes. Again, Sante Sana, Dr. Yiki, for coming on and providing us with this in-depth information about, how our body functions and responds to the various forms of nutritional concepts of water and fiber and all of that. I get lost, brother. I'm just telling you the truth. Man, I'm 77. And man, I wish I would have learned this when I was seven. You understand? Because, like Machina said, you got to get a dictionary and a medical book to keep up with you, brother. And I don't have
Well,
no
wait a minute, wait a minute. Let me say this. We also have, and some people that don't even have children are actually doing this as well. But we have a children's series, right? And in the children's series, it's called, the series is Black's Anatomy for Children's. And it's where we're basically teaching, but through even more simplified stories, for young adults. So people are using those books to get a much stronger hold of the concepts and learn that way as well. So we're really attacking this from a wide variety, because that's my thing, is that we need to teach this to the children and get the children to understanding this stuff. So,
Well, you do that to people getting into the habit or getting addicted to the salt and sugar and other food additives and the various forms of aromas that attract them to certain foods and certain drinks. Like they're talking about taking red dye out of everything and orange dye out of everything. But they still are not talking on your level about what you should be doing with regards to nutrition or long to live a healthy life. It don't mean you'll live a longer life, right? But at least your body would be more younger and more exercisable, and you wouldn't get maybe the arthritis, or you wouldn't get the diabetes, or wouldn't get the high blood pressure. If they follow that prescription, it's more preventive.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the issue is that, by the time a baby gets to be 6 months old on beech nut juice, and that's sugar, straight sugar. And the addiction just go on and on and on because the most primary person that feeds you is your mother and father and and parents or wife. You feed
Yeah,
yourself.
that's a fact. That's why we're attacking everybody. We
But
try to get
but
the, yeah, we're trying to get the adults, the babies, everybody with this information.
But that's my point. That's my point. You understand that it's very difficult because of the consciousness you need to get that meticulous about what you're drinking and eating and its effects on you, negative or positive, for parents, because they're the biggest culprits,
That's a fact. That's a fact.
and they get hooked on McDonald's, and they go from comfort food to just, hey, let me shut you up,
But let me tell you. Let me tell you. Let me add this in. Most times, I'll be honest, most times when people learn better, they do better. That's why there's such a big effort to keep people dumb. They got to keep people dumb because most people, if they learn better, they'll do better. And even going back to the top of the show, learning that our addictive pathway, which is the reward pathway in the brain, is the neuromelanin pathway. It starts to link these things together in one coherent system, and it gets people more interested to understand, the sugar, the cocaine, the heroin, the lean, the this, the that, all of those things interact in the neuromelanin pathway. And so, for me, the common conversation around these things, it works, but a lot of times, if you don't have the scientific part, people will be interested. They'll even get, passionate to an extent. But when they run into someone else that may be able to slap them in the head with a credential, and then they'll hit them with some scientific terms, they'll begin to second guess themselves. So I've had to be able to translate kind of back and forth, layman to science, science to layman, to be able to really make a much larger impact. And now that we have the approach where we can, work on the adults and the children at the same time, it's just a matter of how you bring things to people's attention. Like I use my children, I have 10 children. So right now I'm raising my second five children, and I've always used my children to reach other children, to the point where one time we did a tour up and down the East Coast, me and my daughter Toni. I would come out and do a lecture and speak to the adults, then I would have her come out and speak to the children of the adults. And so we would attack it two ways. Similarly, now, I have Chase, my son, and I'll go and I'll talk to his, sports teams and things like that. And like now he's on the basketball team. They have me as the honorary nutritionist, but I speak to them through what they're interested in. They're interested in being able to, have more endurance, jump higher, build more muscle. So we'll have the conversation in that pocket, and I'll give them what they want in terms of their questions, and then they'll have more and more and more questions as they begin to learn, okay, wait a minute. This is working on how does this work again in my body? Oh, okay, so how can I get stronger, or how can I get faster? Or so what was you saying about the candy and woo-woo? And I don't tell them not to eat candy. I just tell them, candy is good at certain times. If you're gonna do it, bring you some candy, and in the middle of a 3-hour workout, have you, eat your candy then, eat your cookies then, eat your snack, your snack cake or whatever at that time. That's going to give you more energy to translate throughout this workout, as opposed to, just randomly eating high sugary things and then, you're watching TV. So that translates into addiction through dopamine spikes and quiet inflammation. So now you're not getting muscle development. You're getting male boobs and a fat belly, that the girls might not necessarily be interested in, or you're not going to be able to, when you get on the basketball court, you're going to be the last one to get picked if you get picked at all, or just talking to people through things they're interested in. For my age group, it's more about, heart function and brain function. People understanding, Alzheimer's, dementia, those things are driven by neuromelanin production and neuromelanin loss in the brain. So if we want to know how to better protect from dementia and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, we have to understand the melanin production conversation. What stimulates new production? What causes melanin or neuromelanin loss or degeneration? In terms of heart health, there's a lot of conversation about the cardiovascular system, but there's minimal conversation about the heart biochemistry in and of itself. The heart is complex. Inside the heart has its own population of melanocytes called cardiac melanocytes, which completely regulate all of the electric activity in the heart, whether the heart rhythm is smooth or whether the heart rhythm is, becomes erratic, whether the heart keeps you alive or whether the heart kills you, cardiac arrest. All of these conversations just have pockets of interest where, because people aren't necessarily interested in the science, they are interested in what the science can give them. So finding those pockets is the way I've been able to kind of create some conversations with folks that may not be interested in the other side of it. And then with the storytelling is fun and it works on a variety of ages, which is the reason our ancestors, going all the way back to Kemet and beyond, they use storytelling to teach science, because you can take complex, complex information and break it down into simple nuggets that you almost learn without even knowing that you're learning some more complex stuff. And we have throughway. We go back to Kemet. We have the concept of anointing the body to preserve the heart, creating what was called a Christ or a Christ. And that concept was passed on through the Greeks and the Romans to, the biblical narratives. And then that concept was passed even further from, the biblical narratives and Kemet onto modern science. In modern science, you have the QRST complex. The QRST complex is how we map and understand the electrical wave or electromagnetic activity between the SA node and the AV node. So the fact that that sound frequency of Christ or Christ has lasted through the major three, philosophical generations of the last 5,000 years is, to me, in and of itself, is the probably the most profound scientific slash religious, concept that there is. And then when we take it a step further and we look at, the heart being the main foundation of comedic science, and then the heart being the number one killer today, it stands to reason that we have to go back and take some pages out of our ancestors' books in terms of, how we can understand the heart and promote health and wellness through the heart.
Very, very profound what you just said right there. Very profound. We gotta conclude with Miss Sophia. Miss Sophia, You want to unmute? Maybe not.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, do you have a question before we leave this evening for Dr. Inky?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for that incredible, information, and it is backed up by so many studies that I personally have read, including one that's by Dr. Stacy and Jonathan Berg, in what they have said about melanin is that it is the healthier, like the older people who are healthier have more melanin, tend to have more melanin. And also based on their research, they're also saying, I'll quote, in fact, it appears to us that melanin may hold the primary supply of energy while mitochondria produces supplemental energy in an opposing but complementary interdependent relationship. So that's how important that is. And when people get like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, it's when you have a loss of melanin, your body does not have the energy, that energy to clean out your brain, you know, at night. I know Dr. Inky has spoken about the lymphatic system, but the glia cells are not able to their function because there's not enough energy to be able to do that. It's because of a lack of melanin. So, and yeah, so there's, it's an important topic, and it's all, and the melanin, they always say it's, most people only know it's in the skin, but it's found in multiple tissues, like Dr. Inky said, the brain, the heart, the ovaries, and other tissues. So, and then I'll top it off with the fact that there was a drug that I don't know anything about the drug, but it's called nilotinib. And according to their research, they said that it's the drug with such remarkable videoed patients' responses in 2015, no longer available on the internet. So they yanked it off the internet because what it did was it helped clear the brain of plaque in individuals. But what the drug does, it induces melanogenesis. It helps produce melanin. So the melanin is definitely critical in helping with all aspects of your health. So lack of melanin, more infections, lack of melanin, more of these diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and so forth. So, and I know a lot of people that I have seen like use umbrellas to avoid the sun when you actually need the sun. I'm not saying that everybody, you know, shouldn't protect themselves from the sun, but it's, you know, the sun source is the best source of, you know, melanating your body, I think, in that situation. But I wanted to just you know, add to that and just say we're so incredibly appreciative of the classes. I mean, the books that Dr. Inky has, he has books on how to also increase your melanin. So he has, that's part of his book collection. So if you want to look into that so that you can protect yourself and in preventing all these serious diseases that are faced among, you know, our society today. But thank you so much, Dr. Inky, and thank you. It's an honor just to be on your show, Mr. Mastani.
Thanks a lot for being responsible for Dr. Inky being on here, Ms. Sophia. We appreciate that. So thank you for your commentary also. So Dr. Inky, what you want to leave us with this evening until we see you next time?
you know, we got to get the pigment and the fiber in, I guess. And, you know, my one one of my adopted family members was Gil Scott-Heron, and I got a chance to ask him personally, like, what did he mean specifically with the revolution would not be televised? And he said it was going to be an internal thing. And so I took that to mean in your mind, right? Even though that's not what he said. He says it's an internal thing. So now, over time, I've been looking back at that statement, and I think it starts in the mind, but it's your internal transformation, and being able to utilize and put into practice some of the things that we learn. And so I think it's just important for us to really, get to the space where we are focusing on understanding our body, because no matter what kind of money we make, and I think that's where we are in terms of our American experience, no matter what kind of money you make, you're never free if you don't understand your neurochemistry and your biochemistry. If you don't understand your biochemistry, somebody else is controlling your body. If you don't understand your neurochemistry, somebody else is controlling your mind. So it doesn't matter what kind of money you have or transient success, we're not going to have long-lasting success without freedom, and that's something that we have to attain on the inside.
That's excellent. Professor Ra has a video out and in an upcoming book when we're able to complete it with the section on Don't Let Your Oppressor Be Your Teacher. So
That's very important.
I can identify with what you're saying most definitely because we tend to just take what we've been taught and just go with it.
That's a
We
fact.
ignore the facts that we're here in a place that's controlled by a particular group of people who has an intent back in the United States inception that has the same intent, which is enslavement. So they want to enslave your mind to benefit financially, in which they control the financial system. So it's all tied together. But I appreciate you, Dr. Inkey, coming on, providing us with this life-saving information.
Definitely.
That's
Thank
what
you.
we need to do. We need to save our lives, and we're not letting the oppressor teach us. We're
That's
getting
right.
taught by people that's like us and have our best interests at heart. So I appreciate you, brother. And we will do this again soon.
Yes,
And
sir.
so I will be in contact with your agent, Miss Sophia.
Yes. And anybody else that has, some shows or some podcasts, feel free to get in touch with the brothers or Miss Sophia so we can really get this information out there. We have the books for the adults, for children, and it's time that we have to make an aggressive push to get this information everywhere.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. So next Wednesday we have Professor Akinyele Emoja coming on, and he's going to be talking about this book right here, Memoirs of Robert and Mabel Williams, African American Freedom, Armed Resistance, and International Solidarity. So that's our guest for next week. Real good friend of Professor Ra and Joe Hembrick. So Professor Rod, next Tuesday we have the national leader of the Revolutionary Black Panther Party, Ali Muhammad, Dr. Ali Muhammad. So that's next week. And then one more thing. We have another naturopath coming on. And let's show that on Saturday with our series, Message to the Black Diaspora. Let's take a look at that before we leave. Here it is right here. Let's share it. So we have Dr. Iris Latham. Dr. Iris Latham. He's in Panama, and he just was in Ghana, and we got him on Monday. It was a quick grab. He's internationally known, and he focuses a lot on juicing. He juice a lot. So that's who we have on Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So that should be another good show, just like this one this evening. So, Professor Rod, anything for next week that you want to talk about?
No, we're just going to stick with it. We're going to see what the brother, Dr. Ali, has to say next Tuesday.
Okay. So each one to each one in Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great day, and we will be back. We're taking a
Peace.
pause.
Peace.